This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
It is Saturday Magazine with Macca and Paul. Oh, excuse me. Sorry.
What was that, Macca? Are you having a health episode yourself?
A reflux, totally unintended.
Who's our next guest?
Declan Brennan is our next guest, and Declan's been on the show quite a bit because he's always got some interesting stuff to say, and he writes, you know, some really good pieces. He's written a piece for the National Indigenous Times on the coronial inquest into the 1987 deaths of Indigenous cousins Mona Lisa Smith and Jacinta Cindy Smith. And can I just say for people, little trigger warning, if this subject is distressing to you, please don't feel you have to listen. There's lots of support out there. You can see on the Joy website where that is available. Good morning, Declan.
Hey, good morning. Thank you so much for having me back.
It's a pleasure. So tell us about this story. Tell us about this tragedy, but tell us about this story.
Yeah, I'll just give, you mentioned the trigger warning. I'll also just say this does mention the names of Indigenous people who have died.
Yes.
So just be aware of that if anybody is listening. There is a couple of big trigger warnings in the story. So these two young girls who were cousins, described as sisters, Mona Lisa and Jacinta Cindy Smith. Sorry. They died in a car crash in 1987 outside Bourke in New South Wales. They were being driven. Also, the owner of the car was a gentleman named Ian Alexander Grant. And in the aftermath of the crash, one of the girls, Cindy's body was likely identified to have been interfered with. Mm-hmm. There was the coronial inquest has uncovered a lot of what would be described as a flawed investigation. A lot of evidence has been misplaced, mishandled. And in 1990, there was a criminal trial, which was only for a driving offence. So the charge of interfering with the corpse was dropped on the eve of the trial. And Ian Alexander Grant was found not guilty by a completely non-Indigenous jury. And he passed away a few years ago. And so then there was no coronial inquest after that until this year. Late last year. So it's been, without speaking for anybody, 36 years without really any, not so much justice, but any real sort of coverage of the story. There's been a few articles here and there, but we've seen multiple times from the New South Wales former police commissioner not wanting to reopen the case, not wanting to investigate it through a coronial inquest. And we've seen sort of a consistent pushback narrative, I suppose, of not really wanting to give justice to these two girls and the wider sort of Indigenous community in Bourke.
Mm. So, can I ask a question? Yeah. Declan, we love the work that you do. What made you pick this up as a topic, as a journalist, as a writer? What was your rationale for picking up on this story?
I was really fortunate that somebody contacted me and mentioned it. I'd heard of it in a peripheral sense, but somebody contacted me actually and gave me some information on it. I don't want to say it stood out for me because that probably sounds like it's glorifying it, but I did think it was really important to be covered. A couple of other news agencies have covered. I know the Australians actually put a lot of effort into covering it, which is great. I know the ABC have covered it as well. But we live in a country where I can't imagine that a 15 and a 16-year-old girl who weren't Indigenous would have to wait 36 years for a coronial inquest if they had died. That would be my thoughts on the matter and where I sort of thought that needed to be more covered, I think. And obviously there's a myriad of other reasons, but yeah, that stood out as how that could happen is beyond my understanding.
It does, you know, it does say that despite the elapse of all this time, we're still no closer to an answer. But the reality, you know, for the family of these girls, the community of these girls, how do you get closure almost 40 years on? You can't. Like, it's, yeah.
I think, once again, without speaking for people, there is an importance of being able to tell a story, and I know the parents of both girls have been able to give their statement in court. But the situation, I think, is more been, or the coronial inquest, my apologies, has been as much to an understanding of what role systemic racism played in the investigation, and as much so, I think, like, not outgoing racism, or not so much dropping the N-word or hating people of certain colour, but subconsciously. For example, the parents' girls were never interviewed. So the parents of the two girls were never interviewed after the accident. They were, one of them had to be told by a family member that their daughter had died. They were never told by the police. They both said they never were talked to by the police in the entire history of this. So those things, one of the daughters couldn't drive a manual vehicle, but Ian Alexander Grant said she was driving at the time, and they never once went and asked the parents how, if she could drive or not. These things are, you know.
So Mackie, you talk about no justice 36 years on, but, you know, I'm saddened to say, but I think there are so many lessons that this case could teach us, you know, to change the way things are still done today. And, you know, you don't have to look a million miles away to some of the recent things that have happened in parts of our country that, you know, say that these incidents are not managed in the same way in all states. And if these poor, unfortunate girls had been white and in a different state, the police actions would have been different. And I think,
well, they've been white anyway. In a different state. I mean,
so I think, Declan, what you're doing is highlighting the need for change. And, you know, I think the coronial inquest has got to answer them of those questions, because those answers are still relevant today.
Yeah, I think definitely highlighting need for change, and highlighting, I think, most importantly, family members' stories of their two daughters, and a wider community, because too often I think in these cases we also forget that they aren't two girls, it's Mona Lisa and Jacinta.
Yes,
and they have names, and they're children,
and they were people,
and they were people who died, and they died in horrific circumstances. And without going into details, listening to the two medical experts, the way that they died and the evidence that was presented is appalling, and then the actions that happened to one of them afterwards is also appalling, and that enough should be disgusting before an investigation. That, for example, the motor vehicle was just left at a random cotton gin outside of town. There was no, it was just left in the open. That was the main part of evidence, was just left there. We had detectives who came in who were part of, you know, I'm not for one second criticizing the entirety of the New South Wales Police Force, because they were detectives during this coronial investigation who came in and couldn't believe that this was the way it had been investigated. They had come in later in the investigation and were shocked that there was just a motor vehicle just sitting there unlocked in, you know, as one piece of the crash site wasn't marked, you know, things like that. Like it points to a wider picture, but it has to come back every single time that it was a wider picture where two girls died and they weren't given the full value of an investigation that perhaps other people would be given.
Yeah, it's about the dignity that the justice system is supposed to provide to people. And in this case, there was no dignity, because the system at the time and some of the investigation at the time decided, no, we've nothing to see here. Nothing to see here. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I think I've been fortunate to be on your guys' show a few times, and everything for me is about amplifying voices that perhaps aren't always heard, whether it is I came and was lucky enough to talk to you guys about the injecting room and things like that. And it's about amplifying voices that I don't think are always heard. And I think in Australia and in a lot of other countries, we see a demographic of people whose voices are consistently relegated to stereotypes, or consistently relegated to offhanded comments, rather than actually giving people names and saying, this is what happened. And even stories that we read are horrific, it's it's just a monolith of people. Oh, yeah. It's Indigenous people. And it's like, well, no, these are
they're people. Yeah,
they're people, and every single person is the same. Every life lost is the same, but for some reason we seem to relegate them into different points. And that for me was going back to the point, what drew you to it? I couldn't understand that two girls who were not adults could be treated this way by not just the justice system, but I think the wider community.
The system failed them completely.
Yeah, I think. And we're only a good enough society to look after when we are looking after everybody equally. And the lowest members of society, I mean that, whether it's poor, whether it's class, whether it's anything, they have to be treated the same as the highest members of society.
They do.
And that's, I think, a measure of how a society should be treated.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Declan, we're out of time. I do thank you for coming in again, and we're going to have you back again on something else soon, I am sure.
Thank you. Every time you come into these studios, you know, you twinge the heartstrings and you prick our consciousness with the great work that you do to shine a light on stuff that, you know, people don't always want to look at. So thank you for your work, Declan.
Thank you.
It's
important.
It's very important.
Thank you so much. Have a lovely day.
Cheers. Well, thank you. Not such a cheers. You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Macca and Paul, stay with us.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.